from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
We're going to start today by talking to you a little bit about weddings. I love doing weddings. I mean, it's one of my favorite things to do as a pastor. But one thing that makes me really nervous about doing a wedding is the possibility of messing up the names of the couple getting married. Like at the end of the wedding saying, "I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Brian Picorni." And then the couple would look at me and they'd say, "Our name is Jones." I mean, that would just be the worst. I saw it happen once. Where this fear comes from, I think, is when I saw this. I was in college and my friend asked me to read scripture at his wedding. And it was in this big basilica in Chicago. I mean, massive, a few hundred people there. This place was huge. And the priest that did their wedding, he had on like a big cool hat and stuff. And this guy was older than dirt. So the wedding's almost over. I was in the front row. Kurt kisses Tracy and the priest introduces the couple as Kurt and Tracy Muth. Muth was the wrong name. The priest said the wrong name and the whole crowd went, "Oh." And then the pipe organ music started really loudly and Kurt was trying to get the priest's attention, you know, and get him to correct the error. But this guy was old and he didn't even hear Kurt. So Kurt just let it go and it was the worst. There's a lot of nerves in a wedding ceremony. I mean, some of the times the groom feels anxiety right before the ceremony. One time a wedding was about to start and we couldn't find the groom. I saw him 10 minutes earlier, but now we can't find him. So I sent the best man out to look for him. And a few minutes later, this kid comes back to me and he, you know, all of us are standing there, groomsmen and stuff. And he says, "Jeff is okay. I found him. I didn't see him. You know, couldn't see the groom. He wasn't with the best man." So I said, "Well, where is he?" And the best man said, "Well, he's still in the restroom." And so I immediately thought, you know, he's maybe having trouble with his tux or some kind of wardrobe malfunction, you know. And then the best man said, "It's pretty bad. It's going to be a few minutes." So I said, "Man, we don't have any time. We're already late. You know, what's he doing in there?" And then he said, "I told you, he's going to the restroom and it's bad." And then he said this, he said, "Like, remember the bathroom scene in Dumb and Dumber? That kind of bad." So I tell the wedding coordinator what's up, and I run to the John. I didn't run. I walked really fast to the John to find this poor guy. And you guys, I open the door, and it's a war zone in there. I mean, you can imagine what it was like. So I said, "Hey, man, you okay?" And he goes, "I'm not really okay right now." And, you know, I giggled and I said, "Bro, we're late. Like, we gotta go." And then he said to me, "I am going." It was so funny. But when the nerves hit, it's for real. Anxiety and stress are so much a part of our everyday lives, especially now. I mean, think about the anxiety that you face in your daily life. We've all got it. And this has been the craziest year ever for most of us in our lives. We've all got anxieties. No one is spared. Some of us feel nerves because we can't pay certain bills. You know, money is a big, big, big cause of worry. Maybe you got furloughed or you just got back to work or you had a layoff or you lost your job and you still haven't landed one. Big stress. Some of us have kids who are heading down the wrong path. And, you know, when you talk about anxiety with your kids, it's understandable with the year that our kids have had. I mean, most of them haven't been in school. They're trying to do it online, and now they're just trying to get back, and you worry about them. And students who are watching this, whether you're back in school or still on Zoom, you've got tension. You're thinking about your future. You're stressed out about all kinds of stuff, ACT tests, all that stuff. Some of us have health issues that we live with, and they make us worry all the time. Some of us are taking care of elderly parents. You know, we're trying to help family members who are in crisis. You know, family in general can be a huge source of anxiety, right? Some of us have built-in concern with our jobs or our boss. I mean, come on, man, the list keeps going on. What area of your life do you have the most anxiety? I want you to have that in your brain as we talk, because here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to teach you three strategies to have in your heart when anxiety hits. And we're going to call them anxiety busters, okay? They're not ghostbusters. That's very different. But these are strategies. These are anxiety busters. And you can employ one or all three when anxiety hits you. And these busters are going to help you face the worry with God by your side, okay? You get where we're going? Now, here's the deal. Anxiety rips you off. I mean, do you know that? Because it's true. Anxiety steals your joy. And it's so quick. I mean, you'll wake up with worry or it'll hit you in the middle of your day for whatever reason, and you'll remember the bill that you need to pay or some concern with your family. And right there, everything changes, right? And you start to worry. The whole way you see your life, worry, concern, drama come into your life, and it's so easy to just swap your joy with worry. Worry can take the place of joy in your heart. That happens to us like every day, you guys. Anxiety steals your joy. But we can't let it, because the joy that we have is ours. It belongs to us. And you don't want to trade it for worry and stress, because in our lives, it's so easy to do. We can get so used to stress and so used to anxiety in our lives that we feel weird. Like it doesn't feel right when we don't have things to worry about. You ever feel that craziness? Like you want to worry about stuff. Because when we worry about all the drama, it actually feels good sometimes. Because it gives us the illusion of control, or at least by worrying, it makes us feel like we're doing something, but we're not doing anything, right? Or at least nothing helpful. Because worrying doesn't give control, it takes control. And instead of worrying, you know, what if we had a system in our lives or strategy in our lives where we would turn to God and find joy and freedom, even in the midst of the anxiety? Check out this offer that Jesus made to us. It's our first anxiety buster. Bible says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'm going to give you rest, Jesus says. He says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light. Matthew 11. Jesus says, come to me when you're weary, when you feel weighted down by stress and tension, and I'll give you rest. You can relax when you're connected to me. And I know some of you don't know who God is yet, who Jesus is yet. But he says, I will give you rest for your soul. Like, is that even possible? He says, I'll help you carry the burden. Come to me and be yoked to me. So what is a yoke? Well, a yoke is a piece of wood that connects two animals together. Why are they connected? So that they can walk at the same speed together, so they can carry a burden together. That yoke makes them have to stay connected. And Jesus uses this picture of a yoke to say that he wants to do life with you. Like, he wants to walk with you and help you carry your burden. How cool is that? A few years ago, a close friend of mine from Chicago ended his life. He shot himself while sitting in his car in a park near his house. His wife called me, and I was on a plane to Chicago the next day. His name is John. His name was John. And I loved that dude. He was one of my best friends. So as soon as I landed, I got my rental car. I drove to the park where he lived his last moments, that the park just days earlier that he had his last moments. It was January. It was cold. It was gray. It was Chicago. And there was ice in the parking lot. And I got out of my car, and I just got a full breath of winter air in my lungs. And then for some reason, I looked down, you know, the ice under my feet right next to my rental car had these red traces of blood, like little streaks of blood in the ice. I couldn't believe it. I could see the red. I was standing next to, you know, my rental car, and I was right next to where John's car was parked that last day of his life, and it shocked me. I can remember it just, it rocked me. I gasped when I saw those shades of red in the ice. I looked and I was like, no way is that there? And I just started to cry. No thought processes, I just started to cry. The sadness and the burden of it was overwhelming, like on my back. Now, can I drink a drink that will take away that kind of feeling? You know, I mean, it might numb me for a bit, but is it going to help see me through? Really, what drug, what comfort, what pleasure is there in the world that takes away that kind of pain? Like, I couldn't run away from it. I couldn't go anywhere where there was no peace. There was no comfort. There was no pleasure. There was no encouragement. There was nothing that could help me in that moment. And that's why Jesus said these words. He said, come to me. Because Jesus knew what we needed, because he was a man, fully God, but he lived as a man, and he knew tension. He knew stress. He knew anxiety. He knew pain, and he knew fear. And yet he invites us in Matthew 11. He says, come to me and you'll find rest for your soul. So standing in that freezing parking lot, I had nowhere else to go. I mean, only God was going to give me rest for my soul. So I went to Jesus and I prayed and I poured out all my feelings on him right there in that parking lot in the cold. And only God was going to give me rest for my soul. And only God is going to give you rest for your soul. This principle, this Matthew 11, 28 principle, is an anxiety strategy, man. It's an anxiety buster. Because anxiety and pain and fear make you want to run, but where are you going to go? Really? That's why Jesus said, come my direction. Come to me. I'll help you. With my presence in your life, I'll help you have the perspective to bust anxiety, to bust fear, again, because of his presence. Now, if you're all new to this stuff and you know, checking out who God is and that kind of a stuff, this is part of the answer to the question, why is God relevant to my life? Why should I go this direction with God? Well, this is why. The second anxiety buster is found in Philippians 4:6, and I love this one. This is the anxiety buster that I use most in my everyday life. Check this out. The Bible says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. That's Philippians 4:6. My wife, Lisa, has this verse on her sink in our bathroom, so I see it every day, and it really helps me. Some of you know that I used to work a lot with students, you know, high school and middle school students. We'd always have our kids memorize this verse. I coach a middle school football team. What a great verse for our players to memorize. It says, don't worry about anything. Anything. It's so countercultural. Like we said earlier, we love to worry because it gives us the illusion of control, right? This is saying, don't worry about anything. Instead, I love that word, instead, because it says, pray about everything. Trade your worry for prayer. You know, just talk to me, God says to us. Look at that. It says, tell God what you need. Tell him what you need. Communicate with him. Ask him. Now, don't ask in an entitled way. It says, ask with a thankful heart. See that? Knowing that all that God has done to smooth out your path in the past, he can be trusted. Now, God's doing 1,000 things in the background of your life and in my life to help us prosper. So tell God what you need. How straight is that? I love that. Tell him what you need with a thankful heart and then trust him. This is so good. Now, we've got a digital way for you to get one of these cards. After the message, you're going to be instructed on how you can grab one of these. Get one, print it up, and then you can put it up in your bathroom so you could see it, just like my wife and I do in the morning. You could keep it on your fridge so your whole family can see it. You can put it in your locker at school or at work. You can tape it to your dashboard. I've done that in seasons of my life. So get one of these. It'll be really helpful for you. So here's the anxiety busters. Anxiety buster number one, come to me, Jesus says. Number two is I want you to ask for help. God wants you to ask for help. Remember Philippians 4:6. And then anxiety buster number three is the behold principle. The behold principle. Check this out. It's Matthew chapter 28. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. He's talking to his disciples, his closest friends and followers. He says, I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, he says, to the end of the age. So here's the scene. Soon after Easter, Jesus appears to his disciples, and this is what he says. You know, if you picture the scene, he's appearing to 11 of his best friends. These guys have been together for the better part of 3 years, and some of them in that moment worshiped him like they couldn't believe they were seeing this, the resurrected Jesus. And some were doubting, like they thought they were hallucinating. And they're thinking, like, here's Jesus. We just saw this guy die on the cross hours earlier, and now he's standing with us. So it was bananas to these guys. So Jesus gives them some leadership. Check out the verse. He says, I want you to do this kind of instruction. I want you to turn the world upside down, baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teach people about me. Great leadership. And then look what he says to them. He says, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Behold, right? That's an old-timey word. None of us uses that word in our everyday vocab, right? You know, it's like, beholdeth, there's my Chevy in the parking lot. We don't use that word. But this principle is an anxiety buster. Because behold means remember this. Behold, Jesus says, behold, I am with you always. Remember that I'm with you and I'm never leaving your side. There's a verse in Romans 8:31, that says, if God is for us, who can be against us? There's this picture that I love in Psalm 66. The psalmist says, men were riding over us on horses, crushing our heads. We went through fire, we went through floods, but you brought us through to a good place, a place of abundance. You know, when you're fearful about your future, when you don't know what's up, just like the disciples were on that day, when you're confused and you can't figure out the right way, stress and tension, anxiety, and you just feel overwhelmed, behold, remember that God is with you always. Remember that he will never let you down. He will never leave you. So behold him. Behold. Get it? Things are crazy with my life right now. You know, you might be thinking, I don't know how I'm going to make it financially. Behold. My marriage is in trouble. I don't know, you know, I'm so stressed with school. I'm so stressed with work. I'm worried about my kid. You know, I've got this low-grade hum of worry in my life. Behold. You know, sometimes we feel like we're worried all the time. You do. I do. It's almost normal in our lives because we can get overwhelmed. But right there, in the middle of it, behold, just slow down. Don't complain. Don't wish it was better. Just take a deep breath and behold, right? And let God be God. Behold, he's always with you. Just remember, he's never going to leave you, even to the end of the age. It's pretty cool. I love it. I love it. The past years, I've been a worry machine. Like, I've had some new pressures in my life, so many things. I didn't really know how to push ahead. It's been bananas. You know, like I said, I've been a worry machine. And you have too. You've got your own list. I could tell you my list. I've learned that the harder the issue or the challenge that I can't control, the more I need to just behold God and let him be God in my life. So number one, Jesus says, come to me. my perspective, that perspective with me by your side, if you come to me, that's an anxiety buster. Number two is just ask God for help. Tell him what you need. Remember Philippians 4:6? Get that card, put it somewhere where you can see it. And then number three is practice this behold principle. At the beginning of this message, we talked about weddings, remember? One thing I always do at a wedding is right when the bride appears at the end of the center aisle, I'll lean into the groom and I'll whisper to him, I'll say, remember how she looks walking down this aisle forever. And the groom will look at me, you know, and maybe they'll squint, they'll nod. Most of the time, this dude has no clue what's happening because he's a little bit nervous. But there's something about brides, right? Brides are beautiful. I want to hear something cool. Jesus called the church his bride. Why? Because he loves the church. Because he's promised to be faithful to the church. Because he's going to be with the church forever. He's committed to the church. And he's asked the church, he's asked us to be committed to him. Guys, this, our church, is an anxiety buster. Don't miss this. I'm serious. Like, be committed on Sundays. If you miss on a Sunday, then go back and listen to the teaching. Have the experience of the church with you all the time, like every week. But don't just attend. Try to get involved, build friendships, get into a group, follow the leadership that we give you, find a place, serve here, give here. Make sure your kids learn that from you. Get your kids involved or here every week, and you'll find that you're really a part, when you're really a part of a church like ours, it'll make a huge difference in your life. The church will be an anxiety buster for you. So there, I gave you four. That was a free one. Let's pray. Father, thanks for an opportunity to talk real talk about worry and about anxiety and just to get down to the real thing, which is fear. Father, help us to lean into you more and more in ever increasing ways in our lives. Now, God, we want to learn about you. We want to know you. And we want to experience what it's like to live with you and for you. And we don't do that with worry. We do that with confidence. We do that with boldness. And we get that when we know that we're loved by you. So thanks for that today. It's in your Son's awesome name. It's for his sake that we pray. Amen.